Lord, help us to learn your way of love. Help us to learn how to receive your love so it can overflow from us to the world. Amen. I've been with three dying people and their families this week as part of my Calvary job, and it is always such a privilege. It is a sacred time when the nearest, closest relationships are drawn together and when the dying impart their final messages of love. I've seen this pattern time after time again in my work as an oncology nurse, now as a chaplain, and in my personal life when nearly 20 years ago my family gathered around my father's bedside as he told us with so much love in his eyes that we were cherished by him. This event that we have just read in John's Gospel is Jesus' last message of love to those closest to him, those he loved, his disciples. He shows them in action and in word what he is all about. Love. Jesus knows what's about to happen. In verse 1, it says that he knew the hour had come for him to leave this world, and he is imparting his final message of loving each other as we are loved by him. I've been thinking about this scene since Monday and how simple it is and yet how hard it is. My dad and I would often talk about the meaning of life. It was one of his favourite dinner time topics. He would say, "It was love." And I would say, "But love of what? Love of God? Love of people? Box it in, please. Set some parameters." But he would say, "Just love." Jesus, thankfully, isn't as annoying as my dad, and tells us in verse 34 that his command is to love one another as we have been loved. May I take a moment here to point out what Christ doesn't say? When death comes knocking and the Son of God has mere hours left to communicate the heart of his message to his disciples, he doesn't say, "Believe the right things." He doesn't say, "Maintain personal and doctrinal purity." He doesn't say, "Worship like this" or "Attend a church like that." He doesn't even say, "Read your Bible or pray every day or preach the gospel to every living creature." He says, "Love one another." That's it. The last dream of a dead man walking. All of Christianity distilled down to its essence so that maybe we'll pause long enough to hear it. Love one another as I have loved you. This is so simple and so hard. The loving others part is plenty hard, especially because humans can be so difficult. But the thing I think keep thinking about is how hard it is to be loved, to receive it, to feel worthy of it, to not flinch when it's given. Sometimes it really can be easier to give than to receive. 5 days ago in John's Gospel, Jesus had his own feet washed, an extravagant act of love by Mary. She took an expensive perfume and poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. And I don't know what he said to Mary or how he received this love that in the moment that she offered it to him. But given what he did at a dinner 5 days later, I know that Jesus became what he received. Verse 3 starts with the word "because," which typically means there's a cause and effect relationship happening. Jesus knew that he was loved, had come from the one who is love, and was returning to love. So he prepared himself to serve and to wash feet. When the disciples were finishing off the last of the hummus, he suddenly carries a small basin of water. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end, the gospel says of that night. He washed their dung and dirt encrusted feet and dried them with a towel that he had tied around his waist. This is how it works, of course. Hurt people, forgiven people, forgive. And loved people, love. But it doesn't make it any easier to receive love well, because it's hard to be loved. I mean, love me for my chaplaining, fine. Love me for my volunteering or my mothering, okay. Love me for what I do. But love me for me, dust me, all of me, everything that I am, good and bad, that stings. Those grimy feet are a picture of all the unattractiveness of our hearts, the things we'd prefer to keep hidden for fear of being found out, It's a scary thing to admit our dirt and be loved regardless. And it feels like a trap. I'd rather earn love in some way because I was good, or it was reciprocal, or because the only reason someone loves me is because they don't really know me. But to be loved without condition for all of who I am, good and bad, that is tough. Because it brings up all the ways I don't feel worthy of it. It reminds me of all the ways I have loved poorly or not at all. But maybe it is by receiving it, by allowing ourselves to be vulnerable and to receive love, that we become loving. We love because Jesus loves us. If you want to give it, it has to come from somewhere. If you are known but not loved, that will feel like hurtful rejection. And if you are loved but not known, that will feel like inauthentic shallowness. But Jesus could offer the disciples and us the gift of being both fully known and fully loved, to see the filth between our toes and in our hearts, and still to love them and us to the end. It can be hard to uncover your foot, fungal infections, blisters galore, and in my case, with missing toenails because of all the marching I did when away with the army this month, and to say, "This is my foot, please wash it." Peter was like, "No way, are you crazy?" But Jesus tells Peter he must let him wash his feet. A willingness to be vulnerable and receive unconditional love is essential for building a community of love. The word vulnerable literally means able to be wounded. When we are vulnerable, we open ourselves up to the possibility of being wounded. And that's exactly what Jesus teaches us, that we should open ourselves up to one another in love. And that's what he did, right? He loved Judas, who betrayed him. He loved Peter, who denied knowing him. He loved Thomas, who doubted him. He loved those who abandoned him, and even those who had crucified him. Jesus loved in a way that opened him up to these wounds. The burden of being loved, the discomfort, the pain, and the intolerable compliment of being deeply loved. How much courage it takes to offer someone that kind of love. How much humility it takes to receive. And how much, because of fear, we don't get to that level. To receive love, we must be willing to expose ourselves. Open, vulnerable hearts are able to be filled with God's love. Brené Brown, in her book Daring Greatly, talks about how often we think the problem in the world today is with too many narcissists or people loving themselves too much. We think if only they were knocked down a peg, then they wouldn't think that they're so great. But in her analysis, it's not that there's too much love in these people's lives or in society, rather a lack of it. Much like it is with a child who's acting out, who doesn't need punishment as much as they need attention, to be assured that they are loved and that they matter. And many of us need that same assurance, to know that we are enough. It is not that we need to love ourselves less, but to learn to love and receive love for ourselves properly. As I mentioned in my sermon on Sunday, I spent the majority of this month away training with the army. In my section was a Christian psychologist, and we had some wonderful conversations trudging around Madura. She told me that psychology has found that when people feel safe and secure, accepted and loved, it is in that place of acceptance that they are finally able to open up and share their vulnerabilities, their hurts, their fears and their failures. Ironically, it is when we don't focus on the things that are wrong and instead focus on unconditionally loving and accepting people and ourselves just as they are, that the stage is set for change and the pruning work of love. Creating that safe space of unconditional acceptance, which is what Jesus is displaying as he washes feet, allows us to dare to be real, to really open up, to face our darkness together with courage and honesty. If our desire is to follow Jesus' command and love each other well, the remedy is not negating the self as we too often think. Rather, it is to come to love ourselves in a transformed way, to love ourselves as God loves us, to accept ourselves as we are right now, to find our security in God's love for us and not our achievement or outside sources, to know our value and our worth, that we are worth taking time for. We are worth taking care of. Finding ourselves in the love of God and loving ourselves as God does is the foundation for really being able to love. Jesus didn't say, "This is my suggestion." He said, "This is my commandment," meaning it's not a choice. Mundi originates from the Latin mandatum, which means a command or order. It's not a matter of personal preference. It's a matter of obedience to the one we call Lord. G.K. Chesterton once wrote that the Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried. Imagine what would happen to us, to the church, to the world, if we took this commandment of Jesus seriously. What could it look like if we obeyed orders and cultivated a generous, plantar warts and all love so that it spilled out? I ask these questions fearfully because I don't know how to answer them, even for myself. I mean, I know fairly well how to do things. I know how to make care packages for the sick, or bring a meal to the church's annual dinner, or organise a pizza night, or send money to my favourite charities. But Jesus didn't say, "Act as if you love." Do I know how to love as Jesus loved? To feel a depth of compassion that's gut-punching? To experience a hunger for justice so fierce and so urgent that I rearrange my life in order to pursue it? To empathise until my heart breaks? Do I want to? And most of the time, I'll be honest, I don't. I want to be safe. I want to keep my circle small and manageable, and I want to choose the people I love based on my own affinities and preferences, not on Jesus's all-inclusive commandment. Charitable actions are easy, but cultivating my heart, preparing and pruning it to love, becoming vulnerable in authentic ways, those things are hard. Hard and costly. And yet, this was Jesus' dying wish, which means that we have a God who first and foremost wants every one of his children to feel loved, not shamed, not punished, not chastised, not judged, not isolated, but loved. And here's our saving grace. Jesus doesn't leave us alone and bereft. We are not directionless in the wilderness. He gives us a roadmap, a clear and beautiful way forward. And when he said, "As I have loved you," it means not only receive my love, but follow my example. He says, "Do what I do, love as I love, live as you have seen me live. Weep with those who weep, laugh with those who laugh, touch the untouchables, feed the hungry, welcome the child, release the captive, forgive the sinner, confront the oppressor, comfort the oppressed, wash each other's feet, hold each other close, tell each other the truth, and guide each other home." Christ's commandment to us is not that we should wear ourselves out, trying to conjure love from our own easily depleted resources. Rather, it's that we are invited to abide in the holy place where all love originates. We can ask God to help us experience this love, not just once in a while, but every day, like a well we keep going back to. As spiritual beings, God's love is our life source. We can make our home in his love, the most abundant and inexhaustible love in existence. Our love is not our own, it is God's. And God, our source, is without limit, without end. After our foot washing, we'll have the Lord's Supper, the one he instituted on this very night. This supper will strengthen you for your life of love. Jesus knew who he was and where he was going, and that made him secure enough to serve in love. So also with you. You know who you are in Christ and where you are going. You are secure in God's unconditional, all-encompassing love. There is love at this altar for you to receive, and then love for you to pass on to the world. Let us love one another. Let us become what we receive, not because we are good, but because we are loved. Amen.